Welcome back to the Better Than One Marriage Podcast.
Sorry, can you start over? My eyelashes
were stuck together. As we struggle.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready. All right. Welcome back to and welcome to the Better Than One Marriage Podcast. Right now, I wish I had a slogan right there. You know, they say your slogan is supposed to be a certain amount of words.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like 10 specifically. That helps people to be, you know, you can't give a full Ezekiel chapter 5 scripture. Okay. Because then people are just like, I can't remember that.
Well, true.
And who's Ezekiel? But if you have something concise, you know, Burger King, have it your way. Mm-hmm. You know, McDonald's. Is that the same?
I'm loving it.
See? And they going with three, four words.
Yeah.
Yeah. But because I don't have one, and I haven't thought of one that was good enough, I don't have one to say. But if you haven't tuned in before, the point of the Better Than One Marriage Podcast is to give a glimpse and give as much feedback into having really a godly marriage that you can actually be happy in.
Yeah.
And not just to think that, you know, having a godly marriage means that you're missing out on something or you have to live a life that's so stringent that it will cause you to kind of lose your mind. That's not actually what it means to be godly. But we can get into all of that. How are you doing, my love?
I'm still here.
We are still here. That's a very old statement.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's a Williams Brothers song, Chels.
A Williams Brothers song?
Williams Brother. I'm still here.
Okay, that is not the one I'm talking about.
But then that's the one I'm talking about.
Heartaches. But why would I be talking about
so many heartaches?
Oh, that one.
I'm still here.
That's hilarious. That's a little better of a sounded like a doo-wop at first. I was very confused.
That's exactly what it
but,
is.
But yes. Not that one. Okay. But I was talking about I'm still here. Kept by his love.
I understand what you're saying there.
Yeah.
I'm still here. Mm-mm. What? Oh, and I'll never. Wait, no, that's I'm still holding on, girl.
Oh, goodness.
I don't know what you're talking about. I do, but not really.
My mom sang that a lot when I was growing up.
Shout out to Kelly Perkins.
Yes.
But we are here back again at the Marriage Podcast, BTO. It's been a long time coming. We took a break somewhere in June for our move. And for anybody who has seen where we used to be, this is not it.
It is not it.
So, you know, the Lord blessed us to be in a new house.
Amen.
And by new, I mean a place we've never lived before. I don't mean new. As in, this is new for everything. Oh, that's new floor. Oh, new walls. No, negative. It's a new place.
Yes.
And this has been an experience.
Yeah.
And when you say an experience, that means it's been very tumultuous. That's what people mean when they say, this has been an experience. It's
That's
like,
hilarious.
Experience of what? Tumult.
Okay.
Turmoil.
You're the only person I know that says tumult.
I am. That's good. Turmoil. Things have been up and down.
Oh, yeah. Ups and downs.
And it's been a lot of downs.
Ups and downs.
No, but it's been a lot of ups.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, ooh. You know what? What happens is this is the beauty about, go ahead and blow your nose, boo. The beauty about being a Christian trying to live for Christ is that, you know, that Holy Spirit is something you cannot take for granted, even though sometimes we probably do. But here I am.
I want to say that again. I feel like that was going to be too loud.
Well, I didn't hear it. I barely heard it.
Oh,
it was
really?
Good. Even
okay,
if it
good.
Was, I don't care. We're just going to be, we're those people now. My son, he has autism, mm-hmm. and, you know, he just does whatever sometimes. Really, most of the time, he just does whatever.
That is what he does.
And we were trying to get him to stop jumping in his crib, and there seems to be nothing we can do to get him to understand to stop doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm ashy. Got something on me.
Yeah.
Yeah. New setup. But there's something, it's like we can't get him to stop jumping in the crib.
Yeah.
So we just let him jump in the crib at this point. It's like, well, what are you gonna do? He doesn't, you know, he don't get it. That's my boy though. He be drawling, but that's my son.
Yep, love him.
So when you hear a little just random outbursts of ah, just, that's That's my son. All right. Yes. If I knew how to get him to stop doing that, I would do it. But I have no clue whatsoever.
That's Tinky Boo Boo Bear.
That's Tinky Boo Boo Bear, a.k.a. Draw McGee, okay. a.k.a. Lou Draws. That guy is a drawler, but that's my man. Mm-hmm. But the Holy Spirit is something that, you know, I'm really trying to get my walk with the Lord stronger. And really, you don't get it stronger. Really, you just draw closer.
Amen.
He'll strengthen it. But
you draw near, he draws near.
Amen. And yeah. I'm sitting there walking into this house. Let's be clear. It looks, you know... And I ain't going to cast no aspersions on the people, you know, whatever. But sometimes houses just get let go.
Oh, yes.
You know, and they just let it go a little
bit. Well, and I mean, I feel like it's safe to say they were, you know, had disabilities involved,
right. Yes.
Where they couldn't.
Right. Yeah. So, and I don't know how, I can't say for sure how long that was, but I know the house was not in good condition. But here I am. So you're walking through a house that's not in good condition. And all I could, literally the only thing I could hear in my mind, this is your house. Mm-hmm. This is your house. I'm sitting there like, but is it, this is your house. I'm like, oh, Lord. I'm like, what is it? This is your house. I'm like, oh, God. All right. Well, this is my house. I ain't going to fight it. If this is the house, then this is the house. Mm-hmm. Because we already, you know, maybe some haven't heard, you know, about the ordeal that took place with us even getting here. Where, you know, we just stopped looking for a house and said, Lord, you know, if you want us to have a house, just you'll send us a house.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, you know, our realtor just calls us one day like, hey, well, I got a house, you know, off market and it's what you want as far as structure.
Yep. Yeah. And it has the potential to, it has all the spaces we needed to have. And,
yes.
You know, the potentials.
All of that. Yeah. And it's just, you know, just ain't new. But for us, that's better in certain regards because you don't have to pay for the new.
Amen.
You know, you pay for the old.
Amen.
And that puts us in a place where, you know, you pay less and you go into something that has the potential. Now you got to build it up. Build it up.
Let me start.
A heart is a house. For thugs. No.
Very thuggy. Very but, thuggy. You know, it's not that bad. Yeah. It's already a lot better.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
But it's a you know, it's
paint
just,
makes such a huge difference.
Yes. Amen. Shout out to, I don't know what her business name is, so it doesn't matter. Can't even
Designs
shout.
Designs by Camille.
Designs by Camel.
It's what it is right now.
My boo. But it's a task. Mm. And it's a journey that, I mean, we're still in the middle of,
yeah.
Of like, hey, how do you navigate? Now you're a new homeowner and you got more things to take care of than you have money to pay for them.
Right.
Yikes. And
we did get hit immediately with the
yes.
unexpected thousands. It's like, oh, okay.
Yes. Really, it should be expected. But
yeah,
you know,
I mean, we don't watch enough HGTV to know better.
To know once you pull that wall off, somebody removed the studs from behind the wall. the house is just standing on grace. We don't know how it's standing. It's just up. The
that
Lord's
is what they always
it.
Say. We don't know how this house didn't fall down 20 years ago.
We don't know what happened. I don't
like
know.
It's because it's not as bad as you're saying, sir. You're being dramatic. That's funny.
But that's where we are. And we took a really large break, but we are back.
Yeah.
We're back like we never left, yeah. And we are about to get right back into marriage. What is the theme for our season?
It is, why should I get married?
Why should I get married? Not why did I get married? Why should I get married?
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the front end.
Yeah.
Why should I get married?
Yeah.
Okay. Back from changing a diaper.
Indeed.
Amen. So where were we?
I said that our theme for this season is why should I get married?
Right. So why should I get married, my love?
Well, I found some stats on reasons that people decide to get married. Mm-hmm. So this is from Pew Research, I believe, .com. And this is the percent of adults who are married saying each of the following was a major reason why they decided to get married. So they do also have stats for those who are just living with a partner, but I'll just give the stats for people who are married. So 90% said they married for love.
Yeah.
56% said they married for companionship. 63% said they wanted to make a formal commitment. 31% said they wanted to have children someday. 13% said it made sense financially. 10% said it was convenient. And 6% said they or their partner were pregnant.
Mm. Yikes.
What I find interesting is, like, they don't have it anywhere on here that, like, oh, because God.
So it's
like, you know, like, nothing about
religion
or conviction or just morals.
Mm. Yes, interesting thing. I mean, part of it, I would say, because God doesn't actually require people to get married.
Right.
As a life choice.
Mm-hmm.
He says that, obviously, you should be married if you're going to be in a relationship and you want to continue, or if you want to be in sexual relationship with you know, that person.
Yeah.
Then you need to get married so that you're in covenant and that you don't violate that sex thing.
Amen.
And I thought it was kind of interesting to say that the person said, what does it say? Wanted to make a formal commitment.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing to want to do.
Yeah.
Not to say, hey, I got married because I wanted to make a formal commitment. It's like, what does that mean? That I feel like that may be in the vein of religious to me. Like, maybe that's
maybe
people who are religious are saying that. That aspect of it is that I want to make a formal commitment, or it sounds like pressure to me. Yeah, like, because who says yeah, I'm gonna love you because I want to make a formal commitment? That says to me I have a value of marriage, or
I want you to be with anyone else,
or yeah, or like, you know, it just sounds like pressure to me.
Well, why is it sounding pressure?
Because I wouldn't say to you that, you know what, you know why I want to marry you? Because I want to make a formal commitment to you. It sounds so unromantic.
I mean, it does sound unromantic.
Yeah, it sounds like you feel like you have to, as opposed to you wanted to.
Well, but it does say they wanted to make a formal commitment, if they both want to.
Yes. It's like, I want to make a formal, you know, a formal payment to my mortgage company. Yeah. It's like, hey, man, are you going to pay this mortgage? Yes, I want to make a formal payment to this mortgage company. It's like, that doesn't sound like you did it from your heart.
That's
not to say they don't love the person, but it's just a funny way of saying it. It sounds like, I know this is what I'm supposed to do, so that's why I'm doing it.
Right.
Which in certain regards is actually fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's in God's regard. It's actually paramount.
Yeah.
This is something I'm learning and I'm kind of going through right now, is that when God says obedience is better than sacrifice, it means that he would rather you just did what I said than have to do something else I said in response to what you didn't do.
Right.
Which I've never said that before. Let me say it again. So his obedience is better than sacrifice. I would rather that you do the first thing I told you to do than do the second thing I told you to do that's in response to you not doing what I told you to do in the first place.
Right.
God does not desire. He didn't desire the blood of goats and the blood of bulls and sacrifices. He never wanted that in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But he had to do it for the sake of the people who were sacrificing it. Whereas if they were obedient, they wouldn't have had to sacrifice it in the first place.
Right.
Yes. So in that regard, you know, marriage is good.
Yeah.
Because if you're like, hey, I want to get married because I want to make a formal commitment because God said, hey, if you're going to be married to this person, be married, or if you're going to be with this person, be married.
Right.
Then I think that's good.
Yeah. It actually made me think about, you know, the fact that there's non-religious people that still want to make a commitment and still feel offended if they're cheated on, which I always find it interesting when people who are not religious at all, not even just specifically Christian, but just non-religious, that have like a moral code still, you know, where it's like, oh, but you cheated on me, you're wrong. It's like, well, who says?
Well, that's a fair,
you know, I mean, if you don't have, and I know that's like a point for apologetics, apologists say, you know, like, how do we know right from wrong if there's no supreme being that taught us
or told us?
They would say there's no like law from a supreme being.
Yeah.
You know, like, how do we all have a sense of right and wrong?
Right.
You know, and it's just interesting, but it actually led me to look up what percent of open marriages end in divorce. Because people who want a formal commitment, I really think it's because they feel like, yeah, we're making a commitment to each other to stay together, and it's like you and me for life.
Yes.
You know, and it's like us against, like, and not other people involved. But 92% of open relationships end in divorce is what this says.
Is that a proper stat giver?
I think so. And it says 70% of people in open marriages report a better than average relationship, though.
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah. This is
we have loads of fun, but it ain't gonna last. Isn't that sin for you?
That is very funny. Yes, I'm gonna do my thing, but Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the source on that?
Hold on. What is this called?
Because, you know.
Schoenberg Family Law Group.
Okay. Well,
hey. So it should be okay.
Set a law group. So yes,
it's according to lawyers who upholding the divorces.
Law. Lawyers don't lie. I don't know if y'all know that.
Hilarious.
That is. But people who would say there is no basically underlying or overarching moral compass would just say it's human nature. But the flaw in that argument to say, you know, hey, what makes you know that you're getting cheated on if God didn't say it, or if you don't believe in God? And they'll say, all right, well, I mean, that's just human morals. It's like, okay, cool. Well, that's human morals for you.
Mm-hmm.
So now what's human morals for somebody else? Somebody else says, hey, it's perfectly fine for me to be with as many people as I like. And that's not wrong to me. So now it's like, Nobody's being hurt. You're being hurt. Oh, I don't know how you're being hurt. I told you from the beginning.
Right.
You know, I told you what I wanted. And I told you what I would do. So now the issue is there has to be an overarching or underlining or preeminent moral compass that gets everybody back to square one, where it says if God didn't say it, then it doesn't matter.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you against me is like, you know, whatever. What does that matter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm also noticing, so 90% of people said that love was the major reason.
Yeah. I mean, that in these times, that makes sense, right?
And I feel like that probably will never change, you know, as far as like really feeling like, oh, we should get married.
Yeah.
It's like, because we love each other.
Yeah.
That's sweet to me, but
yeah, that is sweet. It
wanting
enough,
to make
though.
A formal commitment is second highest.
Wow,
and then companionship is like closely behind.
Yeah,
which also makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Because I think that I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, lover.
I think that's what people want to commit to. They want to commit to having a companion for life.
Yes, probably. I mean, you need that friend, Chels.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's really weird to just live life just dolo. Like, I've never, you know, especially though, like, the older you get, it's just like, it seems like the worse it gets to just be like out here. Like, in certain ways, some people just like to be free, but it's like, I know you're lonely.
Right.
It's like, there's no possible way that it's just you and you're just like, nah, I'm good. It's like, no. It's like, that's not, like, you ain't meant to live that way.
No.
And, of course, some people have friends, so I ain't going to discount everybody, but
there's
nothing can really beat having that person who gets you, who knows you, who you can be intimate with, who you can trust, who you can rely on, who you can have sex with,
yes,
who you can, you know, watch a movie with, and y'all laugh. Y'all got inside jokes. Y'all got outside jokes.
Right.
You know, you got jokes for the car. You know, you got secrets.
Right.
You have all this. Like, you cannot beat that just being at the crib.
Yeah.
By yourself. And I know it's helpful sometimes for people to just, you know, be like, I don't want to have to deal with certain things. I'm like, yeah, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
But the payoff is just a lot more worth it than the annoyance or the inconvenience of having somebody who you have to deal with.
Yeah, and I think that's what keeps most people from getting married is that they let those cons outweigh the plenteous pros.
That's true.
you know, it really is a balance.
Yeah.
Of just like, okay, yes, there, it's not, nothing worth having is without fighting for, basically. Yeah,
sacrifice.
You know, without sacrifice. But, you know, marriage falls in that category as well.
Yeah.
It's, and it's interesting too, because, doesn't that scripture say like, marriage is honorable above all?
Yeah, above all things.
Above all things.
Yeah.
That's like a big deal.
But let's break it down though, because now if you're talking about the Bible, we got to remember that the Bible is God's word, is God's eternal word, and his spirit and his mind is behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So now he says marriage is honor above all things. Okay, what is marriage to God? Not what is marriage to society or what is marriage to us. What is marriage to God, and why did he say it's honor above all things? Why? Because it represents Christ in the church.
Yeah.
And Christ is most honorable, most praiseworthy because of what he did. He became, well, he was and is selfless. And he lived a life really fully self-sacrificially.
Yeah.
Is that the very idea or essence of him even being on earth speaks to his self-sacrifice.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this is, you know, Jesus Christ. Really, it's Christ more than it is Jesus, right? They're one and the same. But, you know, the body is Jesus. Christ is Messiah, you know, and had to strip himself of divinity to pay a price that he did not owe. He didn't know it. He didn't know nothing, you know, but he came and paid the price and, you know, despised the shame, you know, the scorn, the mock, and he just did it and just disregarded it. And it's so honorable because there is no payoff.
Yeah.
And we, our marriage represents Christ in the church, but it is not Christ in the church. It's a representation.
Yeah.
Because our marriage can never really represent what Christ did.
Right.
It can never really be that way because we're just, we ain't built like that. We're but not. It's we're the not built for no payoff.
Right. No.
I'll be like, yeah, I can be married to you, but you know, you can only try to kill me so many times before I'm like, all right, now.
Right.
That's it.
Well, but there is a payoff.
I'm not saying that
for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross.
That's a fair point. Yes.
And I feel like same thing with marriage.
Yes.
For the joy that is set before you, it's like I have to endure. He endured the cross, despising the shame.
Yes.
You know, but the payoff is.
Is the joy.
Is the joy. And we are.
Yes.
The joy that is set before him, which is very endearing.
That is endearing,
it's deeply endearing.
That's true.
You know, that he's like, man, but then they get to be with me and I get to be with them forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's us.
Well, if I will, maybe I can, let me fix what I'm saying then, is that the pay sucks. No.
Well, it's delayed gratification in some ways.
By a lot.
And often it's like a recurring delayed gratification at times. Yeah. There's like an undertone of gratification the whole time, but I feel like in other ways, there's things you work toward that won't come right away.
Yes. See, but now I have to ask the question is what was the actual joy set before him? Because, you know, some people have a problem with the us-centric gospel where it was all for us. Whereas, you know, in certain regards it is. Uh-huh. Whereas the joy set before him is that he, you know, he loved righteousness. He wanted to do God's will, the Father's will. And that was really the joy. Was the joy set before him actually accomplishing what his Father sent him to do?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it, you know, restoring us?
I mean, the whole thing is really...
It is.
He wanted us to be reconciled to him. I mean, I can understand how people may see that differently. Mm-hmm. In my mind, all I'm hearing is John 3:16.
Yes.
For God so loved the world.
Mm-hmm.
That was the purpose. He gave his son because he loved the world so much.
Yes. But the son...
Now the son may just...
The father.
Love the father.
Well, he loves us too, but... You
but
know.
Then he also says, all that the father has given me...
I have not lost
any. I won't, and none can be plucked out of my hand. It's like we're a gift to him. Yes. And he calls us his bride.
Correct.
You know?
A raggedy bride, but a bride nonetheless.
Yeah, he calls us his bride, and there's going to be a celebration of us being united with him.
Yes.
Now, I understand that maybe the son, you know, maybe his joy was to please the father, but the father's joy was all of us being reconciled to him.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
which he and the father are one.
They're one. Their will is therefore really one and the same.
Their joy is the same.
It's just, I believe it affects the focus that we have and how we approach God.
Yeah.
I feel like when Jesus Christ has to take on a self-sacrificial life, and it's really not him-centric at all.
Right.
It helps us in our Christian walk to realize, hey, you have to be self-sacrificial and obedient.
Yeah.
We know God loved you, but you know Jesus Christ was also just obedient.
Yeah. What I also love is that you were talking about how he had to lay down his identity.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, to love us.
Sure.
And to sacrifice him. He sacrificed literally who he was.
That's a good point.
You know, and he had to, you know, it takes a lot of humility and everything. And in marriage, that's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of people don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to give up me.
No.
To be one with you.
Can't do it.
You know, because we have to become one flesh. And that is like a new creation almost.
It is,
you know, like us coming together and becoming one. It requires us shedding some of what we,
some skin.
Yeah You know, and that's exactly what Jesus did. And you know, also I'm looking, I went on Bible study tools real quick because I couldn't remember if it says marriage is honorable above all.
I thought it was above all.
It may be in different translations. In the King James it says in all. And on Bible study tools, it's saying that, let me hold this where I'm getting older.
Help her, Lord.
And it is honorable in all things, in all respects, upon all accounts, in every way, everywhere. Honorably esteemed among all nations. It becomes persons of all ranks and degrees, quality and order. It is so honorable in all that are lawfully married and do not violate the marriage contract or defile the marriage bed. Yeah,
I think that's actually a pretty good point. It makes it seem like he's actually saying something different. I would have to read the context, but it's like almost everybody on the earth honors marriage,
right?
And it doesn't necessarily look the same everywhere, but I would say maybe outside of America and what they would consider, you know, first world countries, where we're the ones that are over here, you know, like defiling marriage and saying, yeah, I'm. You know, well, to a certain degree.
Right.
Because, you know, people be having some wives everywhere. But, you know, generally, marriage is honored everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at other translations and they're saying marriage should be honored by all.
Right. Because you go somewhere else and talking about you don't get to talk to somebody's wife.
It's true.
Yeah.
It don't matter what country you are in, what the predominant religion is. Right. If there's predominant religion at all, you go there and it's like,
that's somebody's wife.
That's somebody's wife.
She's off limits.
Period.
That's somebody's husband. He's off limits.
Right.
Unless he's out here trying to get another wife.
Then, you my know, God,
there's
today.
There's protocol.
But still, don't mess with none of his wives.
Please don't.
Oh, Lord. That's, wow.
Wow.
It's funny, though, because the lowest one is that they or their partner was pregnant. But the second lowest one was it was convenient.
That's very, yeah, we get married for insurance.
The third lowest is it made sense financially. Usually doesn't make sense financially for the most part, does it?
I think it generally, well, it depends. I think the more money that is involved and the more disparity between two parties, the more it cannot be financially helpful.
Right.
But for people who don't have that much money, it's always helpful. Go from paying rent from two people or two people one rent. You know, that's a great start.
Yeah, I guess so. The midline is wanted to have children someday, which I find that interesting. 31% said because they like that the major reason, which is interesting.
Yeah, because
it's like
seem
I
want to
have
way.
Kids.
So I should be married.
But it's like, but did you love them? That was the major reason that you got married because you wanted to have kids.
That's interesting. Well,
I mean, is that why they were saying they wanted to be married? Maybe not that's right. Why they chose that person. But it's still, once again, that's a lot of 31%, one-third of almost one-third of married couples are saying, you know, like, I wanted my kids to have a mom and a dad that were married, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And even, you know, just some of those values, they're still there.
Yeah, that stability.
People, I feel like at heart, people understand that if you want to have kids, they need two parents.
Yeah.
I mean, some people, you know, believe that it doesn't matter who the two parents are.
Right.
Now. But generally, they do believe that doing it alone is not the way. And statistically, you know, it ain't.
Mm-hmm.
It is not. And even statistically, you know, whether you two men or two women, it probably is actually still beneficial to have two.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In certain regards.
Yeah.
Having, you know, it's just being able to have to depend solely on one person for the nurturing and mm-hmm. discipline and upbringing and financial care and just all around, you know, care for of people is just hard for one person regardless.
It is.
Yeah. So a lot of people probably still hold to that value of understanding, hey, I need somebody to be my partner in this. Mm-hmm. If we're going to bring kids in, I ain't going to be doing it, you know, solo.
Yeah. They know it's not the most ideal.
Yeah.
Scenario.
Not even
it's
close.
Interesting too, because in same-sex relationships or marriages where they adopt children or do in vitro, whatever they do, there's still typically a masculine and a feminine parent.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, but why did you want to get married, Ron?
You know, I was thinking about that. Why did I want to get married? I honestly felt natural.
Should we look at this from two aspects?
Uh-huh.
Did you always want to get married? Or did you always think that you would get married?
I probably always thought I would, but mm-hmm. it wasn't, you know. For men, I don't feel like it's a forethought. It's not. It's somewhere in the recesses.
You uh-huh.
It's not on your tip of your tongue. It's not at the front of your mind like, hey, let's go get married, Ron. It's like, no, you just figure, yeah, somebody will love me. Or I'll find somebody to trick and she'll say yes. And,
that's funny.
You know. But yeah, it felt natural, like, because I knew that in the back of my mind, you know, I need to be married, or if I'm gonna live any type of, you know, just life that's reasonable to whatever Christianity I had at the time, which was probably pitiful. But you know, you have to be married. Like, how are you gonna have kids? Like, I'm not gonna just be out here. Not to mention it, I play at church.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to be the, hey, I play at church, but I'm not married. I just got kids everywhere. It's like, yeah, there's certain places that'll be cool with that. But my father's here.
Right. I play at my father's church.
And even if he let me, like, that's, you know, I'd be embarrassing him.
Yeah.
Like, just disregarding stuff. He up there preaching, saying, hey, don't be shagging.
Right.
Don't be out there fornicating. Not that he's ever said that verbatim like that. But, you know, preaching against sin.
Yeah.
And here your son is in sin.
Mm.
Now, people know, because you're grown. It's funny, because when people become grown, their sin is their sin. It's not their parents' sin.
True. But even though people act like it.
They do. But you know what? Because it's like that. When it's the same thing as when you go to the grocery store and there's a little toddler and he's acting out. If he's acting crazy, you look at the parent and say, yep. What are you teaching the parent?
Yep.
So the same thing happens in pretty much any aspect. If kids act up, the first thing you think is, depending on what it is, mm-hmm. because sometimes, you know, kids just be dumb. They mm-hmm. do dumb stuff.
It's true.
Does not make sense. And you know that, I know your parents ain't teaching you that. You just acting
right.
a fool.
Right.
But then sometimes it's like, well, why aren't you teaching them what they're supposed to know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens in church sometimes. It's like, well, if he ain't living right, then we don't know. Maybe the preacher ain't living right, really. And they try to attribute that child sin to the pastor, to the reverend, or to whoever. But it ain't the case.
Mm-hmm.
And people have their own sin. And people have to actually become aware of that. That it's not, you can't judge the holiness or, you know, teaching of somebody based off the actions of somebody else.
Right.
Because I could have told you everything. Taught you. Guide you up in it, mm-hmm. but if you're in rebellion, I can't unrebel you.
Yeah,
I can pray for you.
Yeah,
but a rebellious heart, I can't change your heart.
Yeah,
all I can do is give you the truth.
Right,
and it doesn't say that I didn't give you the truth, especially when you know the reverend. Please,
please,
I know what I'm supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
and if I don't do it, that's not on him.
Right.
But knowing that if I was in the church and I'm playing, it's like, you know, just be shameful anyway. But I always figured I should be married, you know. It came natural.
Yeah.
My ear is itching like crazy.
Really?
I do not know why.
The outside or the inside?
The inside.
Oh, it's, that's the worst.
It is the worst.
I mean, it could be allergies. My ears itch when I have allergies.
I've never been the inside. It's like right now while we're trying to talk to these people.
You know, I really feel like it's an attack of the enemy because I was just thinking, like, I was fine. And then it's like, oh, we got to record the podcast. Ha-choo. Ha-choo. Blow, blow.
Here come JJ. Drawling all the time. Drawling really fine. It's just like, all right, no problem, son. Sorry.
Doing it.
Losing chords. I don't even know where the real mic cords is at. So.
Oh, well, praise God you had some.
Yeah, they came attached with these stands, Chelsea. So. But I don't think they're as crisp. But that's fine. All right. Whatever. We're here.
As long as they can hear us.
We're rusty. Let's just go with that. It's just rust. You got to knock the rust off.
We got fine stuff. In
why did you get married, Chelsea? Why should you have gotten married?
Okay.
Instead of heathenizing.
Well, I wasn't really at the why should yet. I was more on the like, why did I?
Okay.
So first of all, I always wanted to be married. I always dreamed of being married.
Mm-hmm.
I did, you know, like it just sounded romantic to me having a husband who's all like, oh, you're the most beautiful woman in the world. I love you so much. Mm-hmm. And then we get married and I wear this beautiful gown and everybody throws stuff at me and, you know,
money,
flowers and
yes.
All these things. And, you know, I'm literally envisioning Cinderella going off in the carriage with Prince Charming right now as I say it. You know, like that's what marriage looks like as a little girl, at least in my experience. And for me as a little girl Chelsea. You know, so I was like, oh, that'd be cute, you know. Mm-hmm. And and I always wanted kids. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you are raised a certain way, you don't even envision things going differently.
Right. That's fair.
You know, like certain things were so instilled in me that even though my parents were divorced, they were married when I was conceived and born.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like that wasn't their intention. They didn't go in like, yeah, let's have kids and get divorced or have kids out of wedlock. Like that wasn't it. They got married and then they had children technically. Yeah. Well, not technically, literally. And, you know, and then they got divorced. But even in the midst of that though, and even with them, they got remarried, you know, like they still wanted to be married and still like had a positive view of marriage, you know? But yeah, so like, but just biblically, and, you know, just doctrinally and all of that, like, I always was just like, well, obviously I'm going to get married if I want to have children.
Obviously.
As I got older, I became very aware of, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, which I name drop a lot because that's where it says it's better to marry than to burn with desire.
Hmm.
Hold on. Okay. You know, that's where it says that. So I'm like, you know, I definitely wanted to have sex.
Being fast.
So as a teenager, once I like became aware of that scripture and everything as a teenager, I was like, yeah, I'm not meant to be a eunuch. So God didn't give me that grace. He's
going
to have to give me some new mercies on tomorrow morning if he wants me to do that. So I was like,
not
yeah,
my
it
ministry.
Doesn't seem like that's my ministry. So yeah, I must need to get married. So, you know, all these things considered, I definitely planned on getting married. Now, when it comes to you and I, you know, I think it's just I knew that you were who I wanted to marry. Mm-hmm. I always knew I wanted to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we got together, I was just like, oh, yeah, I love him. And this is beautiful. And yeah, that's who I want to marry.
Yes.
I don't think I consulted the Lord as much as I should have. But I do remember actually like the Lord like showing you to me in a different light in that one moment. You know, I remember that happening. And I think I already felt assured after that. And then, of course, you know, just things didn't change.
Yeah.
You know, like we didn't have any, we didn't have a rocky situation. So.
No, except for that one rocky.
That does not even count. We weren't even together yet.
Whatever.
After actually getting together in a committed relationship. Yes. We didn't have any rockiness. It was just, it was smooth sailing. But
nothing but smooth
praise
sailing.
God. Praise God. But
yes, certainly. That's nice.
But yeah, so that was that.
Yeah.
I just knew I wanted to be married and I knew you were my husband, so I'm just like, yeah.
That's good.
The
end. And that's fair. That's enough.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, I ain't going to say it's enough. It was enough at the time.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever walk you're in, like whatever walk we was in, that was enough at the time. I never felt like I wasn't supposed to marry Chelsea. It just felt natural. It was like, it was almost second nature. Like it went without saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like we barely needed to really even talk about it. It's just like.
And we naturally spoke that way.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like a conversation that had to come up like, so did you ever think about marriage? It's like probably around like a little over a month in, we were just like somewhere around there, like within a couple of months we were talking futuristically.
Yeah.
You know, just like, yeah, because we're together. Like that's just what we're doing, right?
And that needs
right.
to be said, you know, if you ain't talking futuristically, something ain't right.
Yeah.
And then again, I won't say it's not right. But you may or may not be on the same pages.
Amen.
Because if you're looking for that and, you know, if it's not naturally coming up or even if it comes up, it's not going well or it's not coming up at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, futuristic, it's natural to start talking about the future when you see success in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to take it to another level, especially when it's a normal level.
Yeah.
We're not talking about we're already married.
Right.
And we need to. I don't know, start traveling.
Yeah.
You know, start real estate flipping. It's like, no, we are dating. Hey, are we going to be seriously dating? Yeah. All right, cool. Well, now we're exclusive. Oh, we're exclusive. Hey, are we going to get married?
Right.
It's pretty standard.
Yeah,
it's
it
not
is.
Like, you
it's
know.
It's a natural progression.
Yeah.
And I think, too, it's like you just want to come to an agreement that you want this to continue.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, okay, are we in this? All right, let's go ahead and be in this. Like,
right.
we're making a promise.
Right.
To each other that like, yeah, like we want to be in this and this is it.
Yeah.
Like when you really are enjoying things, you don't want them to end. That's
right.
normal.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. You was out here enjoying yourself.
Yeah, I was.
It's good, Chels.
I was wrong.
You know.
Yeah.
For the joy that was set before me.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I endured the cross of marriage.
Amen.
Endured that cross.
Yeah. So why should we get married, Ron?
You should get married because you want something in marriage that you cannot get outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, minus because here, that's the crazy thing about, not crazy, but it's interesting. God does not command us to be married.
Mm-hmm.
Just like he doesn't command us to be saved.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He has a desire that all men would be saved,
mm-hmm.
or it is God's will that all men would be saved, but all men will not be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, It's marriage is kind of similar where it'd be great if you were married. If not, you know, you're not married.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something inside of marriage that, you know, I can't be in covenant with her. We cannot worship together. And by worship, I mean partake in sexual relations, right? Not in good conscience.
Right.
You know, we could do whatever outside of God's will. But inside of God's will, now there's parameters. That's all God, mm-hmm. you know, God has parameters always set for our, you know, our safety and our guidance. So I know that, hey, I want to strokey dope, you know, so I can't do that outside of marriage. I want to have kids. I can't do that outside of, you know, outside of God's will in
mm-hmm.
marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, you know, have that companionship. I want to be able to, you know, enjoy my wife. Can't do that. Outside of marriage, you can have mm-hmm. a girlfriend, but that commitment is not long lasting, and you cannot really build a true foundation that's not secure.
Right.
Otherwise, it's not really a foundation.
Yeah.
It's like a makeshift floor. A foundation is pouring concrete, digging holes.
Mm.
Like we had to dig a hole to pour this foundation.
Right.
Laying a floor is like, hey, something's already there, but you can pluck it up.
I can
pull this floor up. You can't pull up a foundation.
That you have to.
You gotta. Yeah. You gonna have to take off a bunch of stuff and then dig it up. You know, nobody pulls up a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just finding a scripture real fast.
got a scripture to go with your point.
Well, actually, why should with you our get benefits. Because that's what we were going to get into next. I mean, I think what you said is fine.
Sure.
You know, it's just, and I mean, we were going to talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 7, too. Let me just finish writing this down. This is Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. I'll get back to that. But, you know, but God commanded us to. If we want to be obedient to God, and if we, and I know I say this a lot, but it really is, like, meaningful to me. Mm-hmm. You know, God, like you said, God doesn't command us to get married. There are things he commands us to do when it comes to you know, just loving him and loving others. Mm-hmm. You know, but when it comes to, and just refraining from sin, mm-hmm. which in this case he's the command is,
yeah,
if you can't keep from sinning as a single person, then you should get married.
Yeah.
That's the command. Yeah. The command is not everyone must get married. The command is that if you are burning with desire, it is better to marry than to burn with desire.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 real fast, which I go to a lot just because I like what it says. Your body belongs to me and my body belongs to you, and you better not withhold your body because it's not your body to withhold.
Your favorite scripture.
I know, I'm so
funny.
That's
a very funny favorite scripture.
It's a good chapter, though, because it also talks about how the wife could save her husband and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But 1 Corinthians 7, 6 through 9. Excuse me. 6 through 9. This is the NLT. I say this as a concession, not as a command, but I wish everyone were single just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. So I say to those who aren't married and to widows, it's better to stay unmarried just as I am. But if they cannot control themselves, they should go ahead and marry. It's better to marry than to burn with lust. That's what that says. And I mean, he says it's better. Paul says it's better to be like him because then you can just focus on God. Mm. You know, there's other scriptures that talk about that. It's how true. You know, you're distracted by your spouse because
yes,
you know, they require your love and attention and affection.
It's hard.
And it takes some away from the Lord.
It really does. Mm-hmm. It really does. It's actually, you know, it's actually interesting because in certain respects you would think he'd be like, yeah, you know, don't get married,
right?
But what he does is he kind of combines the will, mm-hmm. his desire for your life, and makes it fit together,
yeah,
with the family and the wife, and mm-hmm. tries to marry the two. So that's a hard balance.
It is,
because you know, I know that there's certain things I would like to do either for the Lord, with the Lord, concerning the Lord, and I'm just like, man, the time to do it is just, yeah, like, wow, it's really hard to find.
Yeah,
it's really hard to find. Yeah. But the grace that's there is there. It's helpful, and you know, God gives grace, and he's not going to just leave you high and dry and say, hey, I need you to serve me with your whole heart, be concerned about me totally, and make sure you get it done. Oh yeah, also make sure you're concerned totally with your family and your wife, and make sure you're, right, taking care of all that, figure it out,
right?
He doesn't say that, but he tries to make it work together.
Amen. That's the truth. Yeah. Yeah, so that's the truth. It's a concession, not a command.
Yeah.
You know, but everyone has a special gift. So some people are gifted and graced,
yes,
to be single, but the majority of us are not.
Struggling.
And the command is, but if they can't control themselves, they should go ahead and get married.
You shall. Yes.
So, you know, I mean, my answer for why should we is because God said so.
Yeah.
If he said that to you. If he did not give you the grace to do otherwise, or you know, just lead you to do otherwise. And I mean, I would imagine that if people are called to singleness, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy for them to abstain necessarily.
Sure.
I wonder, I would love to talk to like some single people that are like older, you know, that
been
where
single.
They, yeah, that were called to singleness and know that, like,
Unix.
Yeah, like I want to talk to them and be like, so Like, is it that God, like, just took that desire away from you completely? Mm. Or is it that you just have the strength to? I think even about Donnie McClurkin.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he would rather, you know, be obedient to God and, you know, stay pure. So he was, you know, having homosexual desires and everything and not attracted to women. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, well, I just can't do it then, because if I ain't gonna do it the right way, I just can't do it. And I'm like, well, God must have gave him some real special grace.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that doesn't mean, though, that you're not tempted.
Well, I think certainly it's not that you're tempted. Is that you value God to really? This is what daggone John Bevere has been dealing with this whole time. Is that I must be revered as holy.
Hmm.
Meaning that my word is more valuable than you and your thoughts. What I think is more valuable than what God thinks is more valuable than what I think.
Mm-hmm.
What he wants is more valuable than what I want.
Yeah.
That's the hard part, and where Donnie McClurkin, you know, really should be commended. Because especially if he has a desire for, you know, homosexuality or something or sin. Or, you know, as we all do. Right. But that's a lifelong sort of just like, well, I mean, it's going to be me and the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. But it's still a commitment that somebody has to revere God as holy and say, I will obey you.
Yeah.
Because how could I not?
Yeah, that's such a sacrifice, though.
Yeah, it is a sacrifice.
And that's like a level, I just wonder how many people are actually in that place.
But
to be able to say, God, I love you that much and I revere you.
Yeah.
I fear you that much, you know, that like I'm going to deny myself this thing that's considered a need. That's considered basic human needs.
Yeah, it is. Right.
You know, so that is like seriously special grace.
Well, you know what? I mean, I feel like there's probably more people than we know. Especially when you actually consider the fact that God tells us to fast.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he tells you like, hey, here's a human need. I know you need. And you're going to exercise discipline in that.
But he doesn't tell you to never eat again.
That's true.
This is the only thing.
It's fair.
I mean, I'm trying to think, is there anything else where it's just like, you shall never have. Well, I mean, like, abstaining from certain foods isn't abstaining from food.
Correct.
You know, and like abstaining from food for a time, you know, like this is like a whole different ballgame. And going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, right before the verses I read, in verse 5, it says, do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an appetite.
Yeah. But this is for those of us who God did not give the grace to do it.
Sure.
You know, so I'm like, I guess, because then right after that, it goes into, I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish everyone were single as I am, yet each person has a special gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
That's a special gift from God. Woo! That's a very special gift from God. Wow, that's amazing to me.
Yeah.
It reminds me too, because just as we were talking about with this house, and just life in general, you know, I was thinking recently that it's just something to get to a point where like you store up treasures. You're so focused on storing up treasures in heaven that like, you know, because, you know, as we mentioned, it's like we weren't able to do everything we wanted to do in here right away, you know, and we're going to work toward it, you know, things that make sense and matter. But, you know, we weren't able to just come in here and just, all right, remodel the whole house immediately and buy all the decor and replace all the furniture and do all the things. And, you know, I feel like God's really been dealing with me on like, this does not matter. You know, you want it. Mm-hmm. It's pleasing. It's gratifying, you know, but I just got out of the book of Ecclesiastes. where
vanity of vanity.
Everything all is vanity. Vanity. However, he does say, I found there's nothing better under the sun than for you to eat and drink and enjoy the fruit of your labor. Mm-hmm. For these are gifts from God. Sure. It's a gift from God to enjoy the fruit of your labor and to just have nice things, you know? But it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
And that should not be where your focus lies.
It's true.
I feel like that's where God is dealing with me, is like my focus.
Right.
You know, like, change your focus. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then everything else is added.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but like, is your focus on his kingdom and his righteousness, or is your focus on all the other things? The pagans are worried about what they're going to eat and what they're going to drink.
Yeah.
You know, and where they'll live and all these things.
Wow. I think, when you said it, it made me think of, well, two things now, is that like added kind of makes it feel like it's bonus.
Mm-hmm.
And that is it becomes no longer the focus, but you're still going to have it.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm going to just add this to you to what your real treasure is.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, that's not your focus just here. Just, you know, you'll have it, not attain it, but add it to. And then I can see, you know, the children of Israel leaving out of Egypt, and they're getting the gold and the silver and the treasure from the Egyptians.
Yeah.
And it's just being added to them as they leave.
Yeah.
You know, and Moses told them, God told Moses that would happen.
Yes.
I don't remember how it played out later. I know they got it. I don't remember if they went and I feel like they went and asked for it, but I can't remember.
I don't think so. It said the people were just giving it to them as they were leaving.
So add it to it.
Yeah.
Here's the treasure. And just here. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. What I'm also thinking about is that, well, nah, that's fine. Never mind. I have a lot of thoughts. Yes. They don't all need to be said. But yeah, it's just a lot. Yeah, Lord help us.
Yeah.
All right. So we did jot down a few benefits of getting married. Do you just want to like alternate? You want to tag team?
Well, yeah. Just okay. Same. I don't even know where we at.
All right. Well, that's the last. It's the bottom. Yeah. All right. Benefits of getting married. Love. Ephesians 5:25. I don't actually have all the scriptures handy. Do you want to just look them up for me, and I can just say read? I always wanted to do that. Read. And then you just cut them off.
and the Lord, and you're going too fast. Take it back. I said, and. Okay, and. All right. And the Lord.
Yes. That's hilarious.
That is funny. Shout out to Geno Jennings.
Yes.
Legendary.
I attended a church where they did that.
My Lord.
Called somebody up to read for him and just kept cutting them off.
So this is Ephesians 5:25.
Yes.
This is love, and it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her.
Amen.
There it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a hard command.
And it's the only relationship where we will experience a love that is similar to the love that God has for us.
Other than it may be a mother's love for a child.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only other comparison. That's
probably the only other comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but this one is actually more pure.
Mm-hmm.
Marital love is more pure than motherly or fatherly love.
Yeah, because it's more intimate.
It's a choice.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Like, you naturally will try and you'll naturally lay your life down for your children.
That's true.
Without even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're yours.
Right.
Whereas a husband or a wife is somebody. Like, this is all choice.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No, I
took a wife.
I took a wife.
Yeah.
She's not a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be grafted in later, you know, in spirit. She's not literally mine.
Mm-hmm.
You're mine because, you know, I chose you.
And when you don't look at it that way, that's why it's so easy to let go.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. The next one is joy. Ecclesiastes 9:9.
All right. Chapter 9:9. And it reads, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life. Oh, this guy is
hilarious. he's hilarious. I literally was laughing going through Ecclesiastes. He was like, okay. I'm sorry, I have to say very quickly, I was cracking up because he was like, you know, and I saw that the, he said, everything that you work for may go to your children and they didn't even work for that or something like specific. That. And then you're gone and you don't even get to keep it. He's like, what's the point? He was mad.
Oh, man, he was having, okay. having an issue. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all your days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun. All your days of vanity, for that is the portion in life. All your days of vanity.
Yeah.
For that is your portion in life, and in the labor which you perform under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
It means take, you know, live joyfully. Don't have strife.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're already vain. So it already doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to add stress on top of it not meaning anything.
But he also called it your portion.
That's your portion.
Like, it's something, it's a gift that he's giving you.
Yes.
You know, it's to be enjoyed.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Help. I actually have three scriptures here.
Pick one.
This guy.
This lady.
I mean.
What are they?
Genesis 2:18. I can just tell you what that says. It is not good for man to be alone. I will create a helper that is fit for him. Ecclesiastes 4, yes. 9 through 12.
All right.
Which, okay, yeah.
About to read it. And it reads, right? Oh, the value of a friend. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken.
Amen.
He just threw the Lord in there.
Amen. Amen. And then the last one is Proverbs 31:10-12.
Proverbs 31.
It is 10 through 12 and verse 23.
And it says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. What was the other part?
Verse 23.
And 23 reads, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land.
I only threw that in there because, you know, he's at the gates, like he's adding as well, like you're helping each other. Like mm-hmm. he's working, he's earning income, mm-hmm. you know, providing all of that type of stuff, looking out for the fam.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, doing that as well in another way. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
Amen.
Companionship. Another benefit of getting married, companionship. We have Proverbs 19:14.
Oh.
pull it up.
A heart is a house of love. And it says, houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord.
Oh, wait, I think I put that in there.
Proverbs 19:14.
Right. I just told you why I put that there right before we started. Haha, for companionship, because houses and wealth are things that you can get from an inheritance from your family, yes. or things that you can work for. Like people have like health and success and wealth and houses and cars and all that stuff on their own.
Yes,
but a spouse, yes. you know, of course the Bible's written predominantly to the male. Just because of the time period that it was written in, but it's a mutual benefit there. Like a spouse is from the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, like that is. You
can't inherit her.
Right. You can't. And if you have all of that stuff and have no one to share it with,
mm-hmm.
you know, then it doesn't feel as, it's not as fulfilling.
No.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah. All right. Two more. Intimacy. Genesis 2:24. That is, two shall become one flesh.
That is intimacy.
That is intimacy, and it's an intimacy you don't have in any other type of relationship.
Yeah. Becoming that one flesh is how can two walk together lest they agree? And I guess I would add, I mean, how can you be intimate without, you know, getting naked?
Yeah. Not just physically.
Not just physically, but you can't become one flesh with clothes on.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. and not just sexually. You know, that would be kind of weird. It's like if God really would actually graft you onto each other, it's like, well, you're going to have to get naked before mm-hmm. I perform this surgery.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. It's Amen. True. All right. Last one is children. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. And of course, God calls some to get married and has purpose for your marriage outside of children. But if he blesses you with children, that is an additional blessing.
That's all short. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate.
Yeah, the last part's a little funny, but
yeah. I can't necessarily give full context to what that may mean, because I'm not sure.
I mean,
but it seems like they'll conduct themselves well.
Maybe.
It also says that children are, it says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically when you're young.
Yeah.
Not old. Have mercy.
It's good to start young, guys. Culture would tell you otherwise.
It would. Culture's a liar.
Yeah, culture's a liar. God is a truth.
Amen.
Is the truth, excuse me.
Yes, it's hard to realize that one, though, but Amen. Nonetheless.
But blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them, and they're an inheritance.
Yes.
You know, they're an inheritance from the Lord.
Amen.
They're worth value.
Good.
And they're a legacy. They're something you pass down.
They Amen. Are a legacy. Beautiful. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So get married, folks, if that's how the Lord is leading you.
Yes, and if you're not led by the Lord, I would suggest that you get to know him
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ and through Amen. The Holy Spirit that will come in to your lives. It's more important that you know Christ than it is that you know your spouse.
Amen.
And it's more important that you know Christ and his Holy Spirit than you know really anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you invite him in and he will come quickly.
Amen.
But for those who are still here, give us a like or subscribe and a share. It actually is helpful, beneficial to the podcast, or review, whatever it may be. It's all helpful. Anything counts, negative or positive.
Yeah.
Which is hard to say, but it's true.
There's something I want to start doing too. There's a channel I love watching. Really, I only watch one channel on YouTube. She always says to leave a sunflower emoji in the comments if you made it through the whole episode.
What
can they leave?
Leave something else, a crown.
Okay, leave a crown in the comments if you made it to the end of this episode.
Yes, amen. And we'll be praying for you, and amen. We'll be here for you. So, God bless you. Appreciate you listening. Better Than One Marriage Podcast. Love you all.
And
See
good night.
You. And good night. See you next time.